Disease Specialist, Chief Medical Officer for Partners in Health, where she worked with Dr. Paul Farmer for 23 years. She's also an Associate Professor of Global Health at Harvard Medical School. To see all of our interviews with Paul Farmer, you can go to democracynow.org to read about him. Tracy Kidder's book, Mountains Beyond Mountains, The Quest of Dr. Paul Farmer, A Man Who Would Cure the World, and the Netflix film, Bending the Arc. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Stay safe.
Wearing a mask helps prevent the spread of COVID-19. You should wear a mask when you are out in public or anytime you are around someone who does not live in your household, if you are sick and interacting with others at home, and when you are caring for someone sick at home. Masks should not be worn by children under age 2, anyone who has trouble breathing, or anyone who can't take off the mask without help from another person. To learn more, visit cdc.gov/coronavirus.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. It's just about 6 o'clock. And that means it's time for another edition of Off the Wall. Here comes the flourish.
Is it there?
That's it. That's the flourish. Okay, so now we fade that down and we bring ourselves up, and here we are.
We're here.
Just like that. Yes.
Yes, just like that.
On the air in 3, 2, 1. And it's a very good Tuesday evening. I hope you're enjoying it. This is Emmanuel, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yeah, over here.
On this edition of Off the Wall. Wow. Hey, it's the 22nd day of February in 2022. It is 2/22/22. Think about that. I was in the doctor's office today. I had a doctor's appointment, and you know how you have to fill out like a dozen different forms, and you always have to keep doing the same thing, writing your name, signing your name, and doing the... I did the date so many times. I was so happy. I couldn't even go into the appointment. I was busy filling out forms. I was filling out other people's forms. I was so into 2/22/22. How often do you get to do that? Well, you never get to do that. In fact, you're never going to get to do that again.
Never.
Never. Absolutely not. I mean... We had 1/11/11, right? In 2011, January 11th, that was a good day. I remember that.
Yeah, and that's a lot of twos. That's an incredible amount of twos.
It's as many twos as you can get, really, because there isn't a 22nd month. So, and it's not going to work in Europe. Nuh-uh. You're not gonna, because, you know, sometimes they reverse the date, or we reverse the date. Somebody reverses the date. So let's say July 4th. It could be 4/7 or it could be 7/4, depending on how you do it. But you can't do 22/2. It doesn't work. So this is the only 2/22/22 there'll be. And that's it. We're not going to get another 11. And you can't do 33 because no month has 33 days. Folks, that's it. If you're still listening to this and it's still the 22nd day of February in 2022, you can still have fun and fill out forms. And I highly recommend it. It's very therapeutic. Go charge something and get a credit card receipt and fill that out. Make sure you put the date on. Write somebody a check. Pay a bill. You'll find infinite joy. And God knows we need that. All right? You will find such joy writing the date today. And you will regret it. You will regret it for the rest of your life if you don't do this. Because the next time this is possible won't be for almost 100 years. I believe 2100? No, wait. There's no month 00. No. It's going to have to be 2111, right? That's when we get to do 1111 again.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you get 2122. And then that's it for another, 80 years?
Yeah. You're going to have to accept this. This is going to have to be enough.
There might be people out there that will live to the next one. And if so, hey, I hope you're playing back this show and you realize just how simple we were back now when these things excited us. You're probably doing all kinds of cool things now, you know? And, we had our fun. We did. And it's Tuesday, too. Okay, you know, that's a whole other thing. It's 2/22/22, and it's a Tuesday. Tuesday. What other day is named after a number? Wait, is it named after a number? Tuesday? Wait, you don't spell it that way, do you? It's not T-W-O-S-D-A-Y.
No, it's more a phonetic thing.
Okay. Why is it called Tuesday? You know what? Another show, another time. I should do my research and figure that out. But yeah, it's 2/22/22 on a Tuesday.
Perfect.
You're not going to get any... Are you trying to be a wise guy?
A little bit.
Perfect. Wow.
You invited me.
Okay.
That's all I got.
I invited you. I didn't invite your attitude, so.
All right.
Keep it under control.
Disinvite that, then.
2/22/22 on a Tuesday here on... Why can't our frequency have twos in it?
The two of us.
You know, no FM frequency ends in a two.
With you, too.
Not even listening to me, are you? No FM frequency ends in a two. It's always odd numbers in the United States and Canada.
Okay.
Yeah. Other countries, you know, they go all wacky. Like in Europe, you can be listening to 90.2C or something. And there's all kinds of different rules. And you can get away with things. But here, no.
Wouldn't work on AM either.
90.1. And the next station you can possibly have is 90.3. You can't be at 90.2. In fact, there are some radios that refuse to tune to that frequency. Because you'll never get anything on it. Well, that's... It's a nice little aside from the serious news that we have to focus upon. And But we all know what that is, don't we? Yep, he went and he did it. Oh, boy, that Putin. Okay, we saw it coming. We tried to stop it. We did. Here on this radio show, we offered some suggestions that I think could have worked, you know, and they might wind up being the solution in the end anyway, where he just basically keeps Crimea and keeps the breakaway republics. Here's what I don't get. It's kind of weird. Biden said yesterday that we're not allowed to do business with the breakaway republics that Putin is now sending troops into, and saying that they're independent from Ukraine and that he's recognizing them, and that they're friends of Russia. And they're also called People's Republics, which is also very weird for a post-communist Russia, but whatever. So if we can't do business with these breakaway republics, and we're calling them breakaway republics, and they've broken away, aren't we sort of saying the same thing? That, yeah, they're nasty. They're part of Russia now. They're not part of Ukraine. Don't do business with them. They're breakaway. It just kind of seems to be a little bit in opposition to itself. I get the sentiment. I share the sentiment. It's basically everything that Biden has been saying and the State Department has been saying is coming true. Yeah. And it's being done in a rather a meticulous manner. He surrounded the entire country. And when I say he, obviously, I mean the Russian military, which he controls. And unlike places like Canada, where they debate things and they argue, over there in the Politburo or whatever they call it now, not much of a debate, just basically a blank check. He can do whatever he wants. And now he's moving into those eastern provinces, breakaway republic, whatever you want to call them. And this is where things get interesting, because now he'll be on the actual border of where Ukraine begins, as opposed to the breakaway republics and Crimea, which, at least for Crimea, I know they're majority Russian. And the breakaway republics, I'm not sure how Russian they are. It's kind of like maybe half and half or something like that. But they're harder to hold on to, obviously. If he starts making moves into that other part of Ukraine, which is pro-Western and majority Ukrainian and very much opposed to Russia taking advantage in any way, that's when things are bad. That's when Putin is truly stepping over the line. Here he's stepped over the line a bit, but it may very well wind up. And these borders, they change all the time. It's happened. Look at the maps over the decades and centuries. You'll see this is nothing new. But if he continues to push further west, then there has to be a response of some sort, and there's all kinds of tensions, and there's no real advantage. There's no way out for him at that point. There's no winning strategy. Here, I could see it working out where he gets to keep Crimea, he gets to keep these breakaway republics, and that's it. That's the end of the story, and Ukraine gets a little smaller, but they get more pro-Western and probably wind up joining NATO. Because why not at this point? That's the best case scenario. I don't see it going any other way. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on this, Kyle?
Me personally?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I think it doesn't really help for, at this point, for like my for a radio persona to sit around and pontificate about it. I think the State Department is doing what they should do, and we'll find out, you know, how
we
this
have to
goes.
Pontificate though. That's, you know, we can't just blindly follow. We have to debate and question and find all the facts.
Yeah, and the facts are I think humiliation over humility.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a choice that's been made, and it's unfortunate that the independence of this country is succumbing to this. And I don't know that, I don't know there's much more for me to add.
Well, you know, there are things to look at in perspective. The country's been independent for about 30 years since the fall of the Soviet Union. And it's not Russia. Ukraine is not Russia, despite what Putin might say. And he said something, it was a pretty unhinged speech he gave yesterday, 5 hours long or something like that, I don't know. But basically saying that Ukraine is a fake country and nonsense, utter nonsense. You know, he has a claim, I think, to Crimea, as I said, because that was part of the Russian Republic in the Soviet Union until the 50s when Khrushchev decided to just sign it over to Ukraine. Okay, fine, whatever. But to say that Ukraine, the country, is a part of Russia, no, that is just not true. And you can go back centuries and prove that case. What do you think about Biden? I think Biden is looking pretty good in this as far as a measured response, as far as telling everybody what's likely. What I mean, he's been saying that it's likely that they will invade on, he even gave a particular date. He said the 16th of February or, you know, the next week. And he pretty much nailed it. That's exactly what happened. And it's kind of funny to see how Republicans are responding to this. It's really shameful, actually, because the official GOP Twitter account, you know, at this time when we should be listening to our leaders and agreeing and uniting, and as I said, questioning and pontificating and all that, but also, you know, showing some unity here because it is important. They go out, the GOP, the Republican Party, the official Twitter account, blue check and everything. They just put out this tweet saying Biden is unfit for office. What the hell? You know, even if Trump were in office facing a situation like this, Democrats wouldn't just say something like that. I mean, he'd have to do something really stupid and they'd comment on the act that he did. But they're just lounging around by the fireplace saying, you know what? Biden sucks. He's unfit, without even paying any attention to what's going on in the world. They don't care. And they don't care. They really don't care. I was watching, you ever watch that channel, Russia Today, RT? You can get them. You can get them really easily.
Yeah, they have all kinds of media platforms. And this is one of it. I think Sputnik was another one for a while there that was popular.
RT is funny. I mean, you know, they're polished. They're American sounding. There's multiple channels. There's one for Europe. There's one for United States. There's a documentary channel. There's an all-news channel. It's kind of like the old shortwave days, except now it's on the internet and you can just stream it all the time. But what they're saying is just so incredible that it's like the Cold War, you know, like the old USSR, where basically black is white and, you know, things that you see with your own eyes, you know, it's kind of like... It's kind of like the fights and the discussions that we have been having in this country for the past however many years, where, you know, you're basically arguing facts with people who don't believe what's right in front of them. And there are so many examples of this. I'm sure you all know what I'm talking about. But in this particular case, they're saying things like Ukraine continues to shell Russian troops, and refugees are pouring across the border, and Russia is there to offer aid and friendship and all. Oh, my God. It's just unbelievable to watch this. But you realize how easily the media can be spun and how people can go along for the ride. And they're continuing. I saw them say this, too. In addition to comparing Ukraine to Puerto Rico and saying that's no different than the United States having interest in Puerto Rico and considering that a territory... whatever. There's not enough time to get into those comparisons. At one point, they even compared themselves to the Kurds in Syria. Yeah, Russia is like the Kurds in Syria. Don't ask. But their real argument was that the only reason the United States cares so much is because Joe Biden's son has financial interest in Ukraine. Yeah, that's how we work over here. That the entire military can march on a dime because the president's son wants to make a quick buck. But you know what? I looked at Fox News. They were saying the exact same thing. So Russia Today and Fox News basically have the same talking points. Except Russia today is a bit more literate. They speak better English. They really do. And they're not nearly as annoying, and they don't have commercials, or as many. But yeah, expect this. Expect a lot of facts that you see in front of your eyes be dismissed as not existing. And I think, you know, Republicans are just going to get more and more frustrated, because this is where Biden shines in foreign policy and in negotiating and in basically telling it like it is, even if it's not pleasant. They don't like that. And they're going to use every dirty trick in the book to make it seem like it's something that it's not. They're going to take the side of Putin. In fact, Trump already said that. He said he's a big fan of Putin. I think he's even saying stuff now that backs up Putin more than Biden. I'd have to check. I can't really verify that, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. I want to play some things because we need to sort of move away from the ultra seriousness of the situation. It's a bad situation, but it doesn't have to be a terrible situation. In fact, people in Ukraine seem to be a little less worried than we are, which is good. But they've seen this kind of thing before. People in that region have seen a lot of war and a lot of invasions and injustices and things like that. I mentioned shortwave, and we used to listen to shortwave a lot. In fact, we aired shortwave over these airwaves many times. It still exists, but not nearly like it was. And countries have their own radio stations that broadcast around the world. That's how shortwave works. And they would broadcast in different languages. They would aim their transmitters in a certain direction and say, okay, this is the transmission for England. This is a transmission for the United States. And of course, it would be in English, no matter what country it was coming from. And Ukraine, though it was part of the Soviet Union, had its own broadcast. And every station had something known as an interval signal. What an interval signal is, it's kind of like a musical chime that repeats over and over and over again. The purpose is to let you know you've tuned to the right frequency, because frequencies are always changing. In the course of a night, a station will hop from one frequency to another. The reason for that is because of atmospheric conditions and the frequency itself. Some frequencies work better in the daytime. Some work better at night. Some work better for short distances. Some for longer distances. So you need literally a chart, or you needed a chart, to figure out where every single station was. And you hearing that interval signal told you, ah, I found the station. No guarantee you found the right language of that station, but you found the station at least. I want to play from 1978, the sound of the interval signal from Ukrainian radio. And I assume that was Ukrainian. Now, Kyle, you have that particular sound as, I believe, a ringtone on one of your phones.
Yeah, those are my ringtones.
Interval signals make great ringtones. They really do. They're amazing because they repeat, just like if you're listening to shortwave radio. If you don't answer the phone, they'll just keep repeating. And I heard this, and I said, wow, Kyle's phone is ringing. Except that's not what was happening. What drew you to that?
Oh, I just like the very like stark, quiet. It's just a simple bit of keys on a keyboard, or I don't know exactly what instrument. I think there's various instruments that you can play it. I don't know exactly the notes. I'm not I'm not very literate with music theory and all. Or
don't know a thing about music. Yeah, but we know a lot of people who do, and they could probably give us a lecture on what exactly is comprising these magical notes. But that says Ukraine. Something like that says Ukraine. You hear that sound. I assume people in Ukraine know what that means, but you know, with the decline of shortwave, maybe it no longer means much to people. I'd like to know.
Well, the phenomenon lives on. Like, people have sound prints, corporations have them, production cards for media organizations, Even news channels have their characteristic sounds and so forth. So this, for that medium, was very, very important, as you stated, like to allow people to know what they were tuning into.
That's right. By the way, United States, we had the Voice of America, and our interval signal were a few bars of Yankee Doodle Dandy. Mm-hmm. Not kidding. Look it up. Okay, we're going to move up to 2007. Remember, 1978, we just heard, that was pre-independence. That was while they were still part of the Soviet Union. 2007 is after.
But recognized by the UN.
Yeah, and they were an independent country at that point. Now, yeah, folks, what you can do is you can, we're not going to talk over this, you can splice this out. You can edit the audio and use this for your own ringtone.
Yeah, we should load these up in a pattern on the sequencer.
Yeah.
Just do some craziness.
Yeah, you can do anything. It's certainly possible.
Play it everywhere.
Yeah, 2007.
All right, bump it.
Kedves hallgatóink, az MR4-et, a Magyar Rádió nemzetiségi adásait hallják. Kedves hallgatóink, a Magyar Rádió ukrán nemzetiségi műsorát hallják.
Шановні радіослухачі, ви слухаєте передачу української меншини на хвилях Угорського радіо.
Доброго дня, любі друзі! Щиро вітаємо вас в ефірі Українського радіо і гостинно запрошуємо слухати чергову півгодинну передачу. Отож, любі друзі, якщо вас зацікавили перераховані теми, залишайтеся з нами.
Okay. That point we go into the program itself, but those tones are starting to mean something, aren't they? You're starting to recognize them and say, wow, that's the sound of Ukraine. And you know, if something like that is played a lot, people generally it triggers something in their heads. And I think that might be something useful in the days, weeks, months ahead.
Yeah. And I don't know, it could mean all kinds of things. Maybe you could play with different instruments or something.
Sure, why not? I want to move ahead to 2011. This is going to be a different interval signal because I think it's a different station from Ukraine. But it's also, it's catchy as well. Take a listen, 2011.
Говорить Хмельницький. Доброго ранку, шановні радіослухачі. 8:10. Слухайте інформаційну радіопрограму «Вісник».
Коротко про головні теми випуску.
Сьогодні виповнюється 20 років з дня проведення референдуму на підтвердження акта незалежності України.
У Всесвітній день боротьби зі СНІДом ще раз про проблему людей, що живуть із ВІЛ-інфекцією.
Начальники райвідділів ДАІ пішли до школярів.
Українського на радіо Поділля Центр. Нова година.
Зранку у четвер він народився.
Okay, there we go. I think that might be a domestic service, but more Ukrainian radio there. We have one more selection, and this is the most recent one, 2014. We'll hear the familiar interval signal and a bit of other programming as well. We're going to hear several languages. Someone can help me with the last language. I don't know what that is. At least I didn't recognize it off the top of my head, but we'll be back after a little bit more of Ukrainian international music.
Ukrainian Radio. This is Radio Ukraine International with its one-hour English language broadcast from Kyiv. Our programs are available on live audio at www.radioukr.com.ua via the Astra 4A satellite or audio on demand. Detailed information on our broadcasts is available at www.radioukr.com.ua.
Українішен Хорфунг.
Hier ist Radio Ukraine International mit seinem einstündigen Programm in der deutschen Sprache aus der ukrainischen Hauptstadt Kyiv. Unser Programm ist im Internet als Livestream zu hören, und zwar unter www.radioukr.com.ua. Unser deutschsprachiges Programm ist zudem über Satellit Astra 4A zu empfangen. Wir wünschen Ihnen in der folgenden Stunde gute Unterhaltung.
Audiați Radioul Ucrainan, emisiunile în limba română ale postului de Radio Ucraina Internațional sunt difuzate zilnic la orele 9, 13 și 21 ora Kievului și pot fi recepționate în rețeaua internet accesând site-ul www.radioucr.com.ua. De asemenea, emisiunile noastre mai sunt difuzate pe satelitul Astra 4A, respectiv Sirius 4. Parametrii, poziția orbitală 4,8 grade E, frecvența 11766 MHz, polaritatea orizontală, viteza 27.500 kilosimboluri pe secundă. Radio Ucraina Internațional, RUI.
Yeah, I feel like an idiot. I don't know that language. I should. I probably do. It sounds like a romance language. Is it Portuguese? Is it? No, it's not Spanish. Any guesses, Kyle?
Portuguese is probably a good guess.
That's a good guess, because Portuguese kind of sounds a little like Russian somehow. I'm not sure why. And maybe it's Ukrainian. Maybe it is. I don't know. I'm sure a listener can help us. otw@2600.com. And I'm sure you're all sick of the Ukrainian interval signal by now. But now you know what it sounds like, and I hope that sound hit somebody at somewhere who heard it and recognized it and said, wow, Ukraine. You gotta pay tribute however you can.
And we'll hear no shortage of more news about that part of the world in days to come.
Uh-huh, that's true. Okay, well, as you know, there's a race for the governor's office in New York State, and our favorite representative, Lee Zeldin, is running for the Republican nomination. He's not our favorite. Oh, my God. It's crazy. You know, everything that happens, if there's a subway crime, he's there to, criticize anybody who's doing anything. And completely ignoring the district, namely this district, that he allegedly represents. Hasn't done a thing in this district in ages. Hasn't had a town meeting in years. Whatever. Now it seems he might not even get the Republican nomination. How about that? Yeah, the Republican convention, state convention, is 6 days away. And they might be going with somebody a little more moderate. Yeah. This guy, Harry Wilson, some Republicans have been encouraging him to run. He basically jumped into a GOP primary for governor. A day earlier, some Republicans had launched a draft Pataki movement and website. Remember Pataki, our terrible Republican governor? Oh, boy. I didn't know he was still around. They want to bring back the last Republican to win a governor's race. He's 76 years old right now. We'll see. Both Wilson and Pataki, though, would be more moderate than Lee Zeldin would be. Pataki backers say the party can't win in the fall with Zeldin, which is why we are supporting Zeldin. Because we get rid of him as both a representative and gubernatorial candidate. I don't know, he becomes a Fox pundit at that point. Wilson told Fox News, and yes, we have to quote them occasionally, he is prepared to spend $12 million of his own money on the campaign, including covering the petition drive that will be needed to get his name on the GOP primary ballot. He ran unsuccessfully for state comptroller in 2010, but who remembers that? Wilson is the CEO of the Maeva Group, M-A-E-V-A. I have no idea what they do. A business turnaround specialist. Don't know what that is. He said he will launch an advertising blitz this week. I know what that is. Promising to turn around New York. Wait, isn't the right phrase to turn New York around? I mean, I'm not giving you political advice here. I would never do that. But turn around New York? It's kind of like I'm hiding behind you. Turn around. No, it's awkward. Turn New York around. If you want to change New York, I assume that's what you want to do. Turn New York around. Don't turn around. Nobody can talk these days. In his initial YouTube ad, the Westchester County resident talks of growing up in Johnstown along the Erie Canal, cleaning dorms and bartending to pay for college. Wait, you could pay for college by cleaning dorms? We had janitorial staff that did that. What, you put them out of work? Huh. I'd like to know more about that. And bartending, you have to pay for college, and distinguishing himself from career politicians. A dig at others in the governor's race. Okay, if you're digging at Lee Zeldin, I'll laugh along with you there. I'm running for governor because I cannot sit by while New York is devastated by career politicians, was the full quote there. Might get more interesting, and that's within the next week. Yeah, Republican state convention. You want to go?
No.
It's at a bar downtown. Come on. It's right here. All right, fine. Your loss. Good news. If you got a COVID booster, You probably won't need another one for a very, very long time, if ever. Three doses of a COVID vaccine, or even just two, are enough to protect most people from serious illness and death for a very long time, according to the latest studies. We're starting to see now diminishing returns on the number of additional doses, said John Wherry, director of the Institute for Immunology at the University of Pennsylvania. Although people over 65 or at high risk of illness may benefit from a fourth vaccine dose, it may be unnecessary for most people. Federal health officials have said they are not planning to recommend fourth doses anytime soon. You'd never know that listening in to anti-vaxxers, like the kind who were blockading up in Canada until very recently. Everything that we have heard has pretty much followed the predictions of the scientists. And here we are, 2 years later, and we seem to be in a much better place. We seem to be seeing the infections going way down. Suffolk County right now, it's at around 1% positivity rate, whereas it was over 30% only a few weeks ago. And the reason for that, I'll tell you what it's not because of. It's not because of imbeciles standing outside elected officials' homes and shouting and causing all kinds of problems at school board meetings and throwing temper tantrums in retail stores. No, it's because people got vaccinated. It's because people kept social distancing when the virus was in the air and wore a mask, wore the kinds of masks that did something. And that brought it down significantly. That is why. And that's why we're regaining a lot of the freedoms that we've been doing without, including the freedom to walk around without a mask. Yeah. Do you think anybody wants to do this? You know, the people who are demonstrating and blocking, first of all, you know, I love what they were doing in Canada. They were blockading for freedom, you know, intimidating and preventing things from happening and shouting things down for freedom. Everything they were doing was anti-freedom. Everything they were doing was meant to stop things from happening. And ultimately, with that kind of behavior, imagine if it was in the middle of the pandemic, they'd be stopping a lot more than that. They'd be causing all kinds of illness and death. But it's not because of that. It's because people were taking the precautions, following the guidelines, and now we're at a much better place. Nobody wanted to do this. It wasn't anybody's idea. Okay, Democrats or liberals or whoever you want to blame, they're not sitting around in some room someplace saying, hey, you know what would be a good idea? If nobody got closer than 6 feet to each other and we all wore masks all the time. Yeah, that sounds like a ton of fun. I mean, who in their right mind, and there are plenty of people not in their right mind, I realize that, but come on, do you really think that's a political platform? Nobody enjoys this. Nobody wants this. But you might as well go out and demonstrate against nature, because that's what a virus is. And you have to fight when something is trying to kill you. And that's what a lot of people did. And I'm proud of them. I really am.
Yeah, I think that we definitely lost brain cells listening to what little of that protest in Canada I did listen to. And it just compounds the many other disappointing feelings of disappointment and really discouragement in humanity around this topic, and there's many other topics, and it's been really hard, I think, on a lot of people. Thus you're hearing about all kinds of like mental health and people changing their lives, trying to get some kind of control because they feel so worn down by a lot of it.
Yeah, it's terrible. It is awful. Nobody is having a good time with this.
Yeah, and it hasn't been, this stuff hasn't been helpful. You know, exhaust fumes aren't great for breathing.
Oh, you're parking your semi in the middle of a city and just keeping it running and blowing horns all night long. Yeah, that's not conducive for peace, recovery, any of that. But, you know, we were listening. In fact, we archived a lot of this. If you go to our YouTube page, Channel 2600, look in the video section, you'll see that we have an archive of radio communications, actually online radio. It's an app called Zello. They were communicating, the coordinators of the blockade were communicating with each other throughout. And we saved a lot of it. The ability to save is not in that app, but we figured out a way to do it. And it's there for all time. So you can listen. You can listen to them talking to each other and talking about us. Not us specifically, I don't think. But people like us. It's just weird. You know, they sound so friendly, so homey. And then they say, you know, it's a shame that all these people like communism so much. I'm like, what? What does this have to do with communism? It's just, you know, they've really been steered down a bad path because they say things, they sound nice, they sound friendly, and then the hatred comes out. And it's just basically repeating what they've heard on Fox News or equivalent. They don't have a Fox News up there, so they must be listening to Fox News to get this, or AM hate radio that spreads all kinds of lies about people. And I notice that a lot, you know, with the right wing, how they just, anybody that disagrees with them is a communist now. It's like the 1950s all over again. I know the same thing happens with people on our side referring to anybody they disagree with as a fascist. That's wrong, but there are plenty of instances, provable instances, where people are embracing the values of fascism, and those people should be called fascists, including many people who were elected.
Yeah, and maybe they're more aptly referred to or identified as fascist sympathizers, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of that.
Neo-fascists, fascist wannabes, junior fascists, yeah.
Fascist groupies.
Uh-huh, absolutely, yeah. There's a big fascist resurgence. But, you know, I hesitate to spew forth with hateful slogans or accusations at somebody, at an individual, unless they really deserve it. Unless they really deserve it. And that's why I say, you know, listening to those people, they seem like such nice people. I think we'd really get along with them at other times. And if we can just get through this, maybe we can find common ground. But boy, they gotta check themselves with the hatred and the smears. Not schmears, smears.
They could probably use a schmear.
They could.
Just relax.
Have a bagel. Oh, it's time? Is it really time already? Oh, boy. Yes, this is our feature. You know, we're not going to be doing very many more of these because we're approaching the present. We have been watching every single Academy Award-winning film since they had the Academy Awards back in the 1920s. And we see a foreign film, we see a domestic film. And we are up to, good Lord, is it 2014, I think, is the last film that we saw? Is that right?
Yeah, I think it won for the year of 2014. Yeah. It was produced in 2013, and I'm thinking...
And the award was awarded in 2015.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how it works. So, okay, so 2014, we have a...
International
film. Okay.
Film.
I forget what it was.
Titled Ida.
Ida. Wait a minute. Ida. Oh, Ida. The nun. She's a nun, right?
That's right.
Yeah, okay, I remember that.
Well, she's a student or a apprentice nun. Becoming is... I don't know what they're called.
Yeah, they said it a few times. They wear different habit, different hat.
A novice.
There we go. Yeah,
novice nun.
There's another word for it, though. But anyway, the point is, she's about to take her vows. This is in Poland. This is in Poland in the communist era. And you may not know this, but religion played a pretty big part in communist Poland. In fact, religion, the Catholic Church, was the biggest opponent to the communist regime, and they could not be quelled by them. So they just kind of continued to exist. The government said, okay, you know what, we can't stop these people, and we might as well just let them be. And so there are, you know, all these references to things that are happening in the communist world around them, but they don't take over the film. It's just basically you see a trial for somebody who is accused of anti-socialist feelings and things like that. You just get a sense. It's a black and white film. It's done in SD format, which is, you know, square. And you get a sense of the bleakness, which that era definitely had.
Yes, and the novice is visiting an aunt who her head nun tells her she has to do beforehand.
Mother Superior.
That reveals that interaction with her sort of partying judge aunt reveals a whole other side of her that they had been Jews and and this whole history of her family that she doesn't really realize, and it really
she finds out she's Jewish.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now that's you know awkward for a nun to find that out, but she sees her aunt, her only remaining relative, and says, oh, you know, by the way, you might want to know this. And so they go off on, I guess it's sort of defined as a road movie, because they go on a road trip in Poland to find the people who know what happened to the rest of her family.
That's right. And they go looking for where her parents are buried and talk to a local person there that sort of remembers what had happened. And she learns more about her aunt being this like communist resistance fighter. And yeah, it's
based on a true story.
Really interesting.
And the thing is, you know, of course, the Holocaust surrounded them, but there is no overt reference to it. And the horror, you just say, oh, your family is Jewish. Where did they die? And where are they buried? And you can figure out the rest. And so it's just this soul-searching story where basically she's trying to find answers to that and then asking herself, do I really want to be a nun, or do I want to live in the world and socialize and dance and drink and all that kind of thing? It's interesting. You know, I enjoyed it so much more than the film we saw last week, you know, the Fellini-esque film where everybody is just doing all kinds of crazy things and talking to the sky and all sorts of bizarre characters. It was fun, but this was very simple. And sometimes I like very simple.
Yeah, she kind of goes, tries and lives a life in an evening, and then I think goes back on this path towards, you know, realizing what her role could be, where she's gonna go with her life and in this pursuit. Anyway, great film.
Are you worried about the power? Because we just had a flicker. There's a windstorm outside.
I heard there is, there is some inclement weather.
So, listeners, wind advisory is in effect until tomorrow morning. So if you're doing anything that doesn't work well when there's wind, don't do that until it goes away sometime tomorrow. What's a wind advisor? I don't know what you're supposed to do. Don't go sailing. No, you should go sailing because wind is what makes the sail go. But no, don't go sailing. It's really nasty outside.
So our domestic film.
Oh, yes.
It's Bat. No, I'm sorry. Not Bat.
Batman?
It's Birdman.
Birdman. But, you know, I'd never heard of this film before. Birdman is basically, it has Michael Keaton in it.
I'm sorry, the full title is Birdman or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance.
And that's my life, The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. Absolutely. All the time. I'm always finding out things because I'm ignorant. But Michael Keaton played Batman. And in fact, the year they talk about the last Birdman film, which is fictitious, by the way, that was the same year of the last Batman film. So it's kind of a parallel story, you know?
It could be like a mockumentary of maybe a biopic about Michael Keaton, but not.
Yeah.
It's just, he's perfect in this role. And I think the director was very keen to have this particular actor who had been in an action film, but also who can perform and be this incredible, almost psychotic, like just tormented, I think is how it's referred in some of the write-up here. And the deep madness in his eyes, his expression, his he taps into something.
And pairing with Ed Norton, who, you know, I always think of The Honeymooners and I say Ed Norton, but no, the actor Ed Norton, his very annoying character, who apparently is a parallel to how he is in real life. That's what people say. I'm not saying that. But that's what made it work. They're putting on a play. The whole thing is about putting on a play. And what's interesting, it takes place in the St. James Theater in Times Square.
Yeah, the play is what we talk about when we talk about love by Raymond Carver.
It's a real play.
It is.
And they're reading lines from it. And we had just, you know, when we saw Steve Colbert and we went out for food afterwards, we walked right past that. It was, you know, I recognized everything. It was shot so well. What's unique about this film, what's really special about it, is that it appears to all be one take. There are only 16 edits in the entire film.
I didn't know that. When you told me that, I was blown away because I wasn't even thinking about that.
They edited the whole film in 2 weeks. You know, there are more edits in the trailer for the film by a lot than there is in the entire film. That is how amazing this is.
That is incredible because it is, you get engrossed in this story and it goes from one
part of this theater to another, and you're walking backstage, and you really feel like you're the confinement of this place. You're almost working through his mind because his mind is this world of like being in the dressing room, being off and then on again. And then of course dealing with real life.
But all of that, that was a stage. I was in Los Angeles, but the outside, that was New York. So you really felt like you were in the St. James Theater, going through all these corridors, up and down the staircase. The way they did this was they had to basically have every word, every person in the right place and do these long takes of multiple scenes. And if one thing went wrong, they had to do the whole thing again. This was the Mexican director. I remember when he won in the Academy Award. His name should be right there in the front. Yeah,
Alejandro G. Iñárritu.
I wasn't going to pronounce it. I figured I'd just hand that off to you.
I know I didn't pronounce the last name. I didn't take Spanish.
But it really is a masterpiece on that level. I didn't like the story that much. Didn't like the characters that much. But I really liked the filmmaking. I thought that was incredible. That was something that was well worthy of winning the prize.
The costume was great. The action character version of Keaton following him around.
And,
there was some interesting use of effects. It almost, you started out thinking, oh, this is just going to be an action movie, because there's a lot of giveaways in the trailer or like when you look at the disc or something.
I was hoping it wasn't going to be a superhero movie. Like, I don't like superhero movies.
Comic book series? What? I didn't read this. I don't know anything.
I don't like comic book movies. I'm sorry. I don't. I tried. I really do. I just, you know, I like real life.
It's a huge genre and is a big money maker. It's an important, I'm sure, as musicals.
And you know, live your life in those worlds if that makes you happy. It just doesn't make me happy, so I'd like to do something else.
Sure.
I don't know why I got off on that kick, but Birdman, yes, that's the winner for 2014, and we'll be back next week with, or hopefully next week with 2015 as well. Oh boy, this is sad. To think that this beautiful voice has been silenced. But it happens all the time. And we're going to say goodnight. We're going to invite people to write to us, otw@2600.com. We're going to ask people to stay tuned to Finn and to WUSB Stony Brook. And we're going to say
bonsoir.
Good night.
We skip the light fandango. Turns cartwheels across the floor. I was feeling kind of seasick. The crowd called out for more. The room was humming harder as the ceiling. At first just go sleep. Turn the wider shade off bed.
kiss at first just go sleep. Turn the wider shade off.